Thank you, Jillian. That was powerful. Praise God. Morning, church. Good to be back once again to share God's word with you. And yesterday wasn't the best of days. I got a message yesterday morning that one of my friends in South Africa passed on. Just had a massive stroke, fell, hit his brain, and that was the end. He didn't want any church service, so he died at 12 and they cremated him at 4 o'clock. So it was a sad day, but we can thank God we still have lives. Just appreciate every day that you have, and life is uncertain. But more than that, we've got to be prepared to meet our Maker. That's the most important thing. Also, let us pray for many of our folk that are traveling, gone overseas and all over the world, that God will grant them safe traveling mercies and bring them back safe. As you can see, during the summer, the church is a little empty, and I don't blame them because our summers are very, very short here, so you've got to make the best of them. Well, we finished with the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus is making a few closing remarks. He's trying to warn us in these closing remarks. And so I'll title my sermon this morning, The Wide Road of False Teachers. Now, driving cars these days are becoming more complicated. Is that true? I don't know when you're going to be a little more scared, because one of these days we're going to have driverless cars. And imagine a car passing your house without any driver. Or someone passing on the street without a driver. There'll be some scary days ahead. But while we're still driving, on any given stretch of road, you would find warning signs. Lane closed, mud on road, rocks on road, falling rocks. Some places tell you how fast you are going. And some places warn you that the police is ahead there and there's cameras. And most of the times we bypass all those signs, and we heed to them at times. Jesus is ending his Sermon on the Mount with a set of warning signs. And if you have come with Jesus thus far, if you've been a Christian thus far, you know it's not a matter of holding just onto the steering wheel and hoping for the best. The times we are living in, you need to concentrate on that steering wheel to take note of the danger that is ahead of the church, to realize that you cannot presume or take anything for granted in this world. This is why, along the way, during the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus was always giving us choices. We discovered a lot of choices. Two kinds of righteousness, two kinds of devotion, two kinds of treasures, two kinds of masters, two kinds of ambition, two kinds of kingdom. Kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan, the prevailing culture or the Christian counterculture. Gave us two teachers, false teachers and true teachers, two pleas, words and deeds, two foundation, the sand and the rock. Inescapable choices Jesus has given us. And today we're going to focus on two gates. The narrow gate and the wide gate. If you have your Bibles, you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, and we'll look at 15 and 16 a little later in the verse. So let's enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is easy. That leads to what? Destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. Immediately striking about these verses is the absolute choice, once again, that is before us. Now, most of us love two choices. Now, I love ice cream. Most of you don't like ice cream, yeah. How many of you love ice cream? I see some of you got two hands up. Now, that's my weakness. I love ice cream, and this is why we don't buy ice cream at home. If my wife's gone out, if I just come to the fridge, freezer, pull out the ice cream, have a scoop, wash the bowls, clean it up, set it away, and add my fill of ice cream. So it's temptation for me. And if there's two containers of ice cream, and if I have enough time when I'm alone, I'll take a scoop from one, and I'll take a scoop from the other, and I'll just relax with the ice cream. Now, you go to an ice cream parlor. What are some of the ice cream stores out here? Are you so innocent that you don't go to it? Yes, 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 yes. Man, ice creams are it's the most delicious thing you can ever have. It's the unhealthiest also. So don't get up there. But now when you go to an ice cream parlor, how many choices they give you? The guy says, once you go in the store, you only got to choose two flavors. You like that? No, what do? One flavor will be sufficient. I never had two flavors of ice cream until I came to America. In Africa, I only had a choice of one. And two flavors. But one flavor, you cannot mix your flavors. When I got to the United States, you can mix your ice cream up. You can have chocolates in your ice cream. You can have nuts in your ice cream. Man, it's fancy. Choices, wow. We all love choices. And what we like to do is basically fuse a few different ice creams into one. You're really not having a vanilla, but you're having a chocolate flavor. And we all love the fusion. We like to put everything together. Is that true? Like to put everything together. Now, Jesus is against this combination, this blending and these mergings. Leave the ice cream now. You can still fuse your ice cream. But Jesus is saying, I don't want you to fuse or merge the beliefs that are outside and bring in. Is the world doing that? Is the church doing that? Yes, the church is bringing outside teachings and trying to fuse them with Christianity. He's trying to blend them with Christianity, and Christ says, no, we cannot do that. It's called syncretism, or another apologetic word, relativism. Basically, you can bring anything together and fuse them and make it your religion. They use a big word. It's called existentialism. Basically, where you become your own God and you can define the future of what is right or wrong. And if I'm saying this is brown, you got to agree with me, though you know it is black. God will not allow that. He will not allow the comfortable propositions that we are trying to propose and trying to produce what religion is all about. Christ says, and this is why he said it, and this is why he's only given you two choices. All along the way, go back and read the Sermon on the Mount again. You'll never find three choices anywhere. There's only two choices. There's only two possibilities to choose from. So when we go back to this text, again, there are two ways he's once again giving to us. Never given us three ways. It says the one way is easy. It's broad. It's spacious. It's roomy. Plenty of room for diversity of opinions on this easy road. It's a road without laxity of morals. You can do anything you want on this road. It's a road of tolerance. It's the road of permissiveness. It's a road of leniency. Oh, you all can be broad-minded on this road. This road has no curbs. It has no boundaries or thought of conduct, nothing. The travelers, by the way, follow their own inclinations. They don't follow the inclination of someone else. It's their own inclinations that they follow. They follow the desires of the human heart. Don't tell me what to do. I know what is right. Have you heard that? Superficiality, shallowness, triviality. Don't talk to me about these things. This road is all about self-love. It's about hypocrisy. And in fact, it's mechanical religion. It's not coming from the heart. It's mechanical. You have a false ambition on this easy road. And in fact, it's censoriousness. I shared with you this big word where you can condemn without feeling bad. No effort is required on the road to practice anything on this easy road. And this is why this road is broad and it's very easy, because there is no accountability on this road. There is no accountability on this road. The other road is the hard way. It's narrow. The boundaries are clearly marked on this road. Its narrowness is due to something called divine revelation. This is why this road is narrow. This is why it is marked. And this is why it has certain conditions, because it's divinely inspired. This is why it restricts the pilgrims that are walking on this road to what God has revealed in the scripture only. And that's the only code book that we use to walk on this narrow road. We don't bring a myriad of religious beliefs on this road. So, two ways. Also, there's two gates on this road. Two ways, two gates. Again, only two options. The gate leading the easy way is pretty wide. It's simple to get on the easy road. And when Jesus told this parable, by the way, when he was reflecting on this, when you go to Jerusalem, some of you have been to Israel, you see the narrow gate there, and you'll see a wide gate. And on the narrow gate, it's basically you've got to follow each person, because at the evening the gates will close, and only one gate will be open in the evening, and that is a narrow gate. But the wide gate during the day, there's no limit to your luggage that you can carry. There's no limit that things that you could take with you. No, you don't have to leave anything behind on the wide gate. Not even your sins. Not even your self-righteousness or your pride. You can take everything on into this wide gate. But the gate leading the hard way, as I told you, one gate is narrow. And in the evening, when the narrow, when everybody's going into the narrow gate, it's really narrow, only one person at a time. One has to look for this gate. When it gets dark, you've got to find this gate. It's easy to miss. It's narrow as the needle's eye, the Bible says. And in order to enter, we must leave everything behind. You've got to leave your sin behind. You've got to leave your self-ambition behind. You've got to leave your covetousness behind. And in fact, sometimes it's necessary to leave your family and friends behind on this narrow gate. You have to walk it alone. And some of you are walking this gate alone. The rest of them are on the broad road. And you go into a broad experience to say, what? I'm the only one walking on this narrow road. It's a serious road. See, for no one can follow Christ was not first denied himself. And the entry in this road is a turnpike. You know what's a turnpike? It has to be entered one by one. It's not the masses. It has to be entered one by one. How can we find this road? There's only one person through who you can find this road. There's only one person that could lead you to this road, and that is Jesus Christ. He said, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. So, two ways in this road. There's two gates. If you look at the passage, there's something else there also. There are two destinations on this road. Two destinations on this road. Jesus said the easy way entered by the wide gate leads to destruction. One of these ways leads to destruction. The broad road is a suicide road. And by contrast, the hard way entered by the narrow gate leads to life and eternal life. Also, something else is found there. There are two crowds. There are two crowds in this that are entering by the wide gate and traveling along the road of destruction are many. The broad road is easy. It's a busy thoroughfare. This is why the church is empty. This is why the broad road is busy. We had something else here this morning. We had something that is not associated with God. This place would be packed. It would be packed. It's a broad road. There's nothing. There's no conditions for me to come in here. It'll be thronged by pedestrians of every kind. But the narrow road, which leads to eternal life, seems to be deserted. Seems that you're walking the road all alone. And Jesus anticipated that his followers will be the despised minority as we move along. He saw the multitudes on the broad road, laughing and carefree, and sometimes we want to go on the broad road. Is that so? We want to walk the broad road because, it's carefree. Everyone's walking on the road. That must be the right road. The majority is always right. Do we say that? They're laughing and they're carefree with no thought of a dreadful end. While on the narrow road, just a happy band of pilgrims singing songs of expectations. Falling down, waking up, falling down, waking up. But each group is presented with a choice. You either enter it one way or the other way. There is no third road. According to Jesus, there is no middle road. And many of us want the middle road. Jesus had predicted the lukewarm church in Revelation will want the middle road. They want to play Christianity and they want to play the world. And this is why he says we are lukewarm. Because we want to be in the center. We want to enjoy the broad road, but we can do the narrow road on the Sabbath only. Let's walk the broad road on the other days. My friends, there is no other gate. There is no third gate. There is no neutral group. Both gates, only two gates, have an ending. One is destruction, clearly identified by Jesus himself, and one leads to life. There is no third alternative. You see, it's unfashionable today to have two choices, like I told you in the ice cream parlor. People like to be uncommitted. Have you heard people? Ask them on a serious question. It's a morality question. And people are saying, no, I don't want to make a decision because I want to follow what the world goes by. I don't want to commit myself. Have you taken an opinion poll lately? Most opinion polls allow for yes or no. Is that true? But they had to add one more. Don't know. Have you seen that? Have you seen all that in the opinion polls? They had to add that. People say, no, it's not a yes or no. It must be a don't know. And this is where we want to be in. Everybody resents being faced with the necessity of a choice. We don't want to be faced with the choice, but Christ says, you will not escape a choice. There's only two choices that you have, the righteous and the unrighteous, the good and the bad. You see, what the devil wants to do, he says, the bad is good. That's what he wants us to say. And that's what we are saying today, that the bad is good. And we hear it all the time. Now, who entices us to enter this wide gate? Yes, he entices us to enter this wide gate. And this is why he's warned us. The enticers are not outside the church. Did you get that? Those who are enticing you into the wide gate are not outside of the church. Where are they? They'll filter in also. They will come in. And we cannot chase anyone, by the way. Anybody who walks in the door here cannot. Doesn't matter where he is and how deep in sin. This is a hospital for sinners, by the way. So you're not the judge. Let God be the judge. Okay, and so there will be false teachers within us. Listen to this. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by the fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorns or figs from thistles? So every sound tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears evil fruit. A sound tree cannot bear evil fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. It says, so every sound tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears evil fruit. A sound tree cannot bear evil fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will know them by the fruits. I'm having a problem reading out there, so this is why it's tough with the lights. So Jesus warned his followers of false prophets. Why did he warn? Were there false prophets in Jesus' time? Yes, already in the time of Jesus. And Jesus experienced it himself. The disciples experienced false prophets at that time. Can you imagine how much more false prophets are now in the time we are living in? He says, these false teachers will lead many astray. Did you see that? And how will you be led astray? If you don't know what you believe in, because you are pounded by the world. The world is pounding you with the beliefs and the ideologies and all the philosophies that are being pounded every day. 24 hours round the clock, you're on the media. And you come in here and you spend 5 minutes on church. And when someone teaches you something that is contrary, and this is why when you walk into bookstores today, you go into the New Age section, and right next to the New Age section, or mixed with the New Age section books, is religious books. So folk are picking up New Age books, New Age philosophy, and reading them and applying them to God, which is totally contradictory. Can you see how you can be deceived? Be careful of great writers. There are a lot of great writers around, and you think, wow, he's a great writer. But he's very deceptive in his writing, or he or she. So this is why we call them pseudo-prophets. The Greek word for pseudo means lying. They are lying prophets. They present the church with a challenge, and they're telling you, this is what they're telling you, hey, you're confined to a church. You're confined to your Bible. There's many other things. Knowledge has increased. Why stick to your Bible? Think out of the box. Think out of the box. God wants us to think out of the box. Why are you confined to some old scripture that is outdated and not relevant? Be careful. If you deviate from the Bible, if you deviate from the Word of God, you're going astray. Because that's God's word to man. That word's eternal. Nobody's going to change that word from God. And so these false teachers have caused much damage. And so Jesus was not synchronizing his message anyway. He did not blend some Pharisee message and some Sadducee message and some Jewish message and some Islam message and bring it together and say, let's put it together. Many people says, oh man, all rivers lead to one ocean. So you can believe anything as long as you the end thing is a God somewhere along the line. No, no, friends. Our God is a jealous God. You get me? You cannot bring an idol. Cannot bring a piece of wood. You cannot bring the sun and moon. No, because he created all these things. Everybody's worshiping these things. He is our creator. We have to give him allegiance. This is why he says, hang on, there is only one way. There's only one way with me. And Jesus did not teach contradictory opinions. He held truth and falsehood. He did not combine truth and error together. They were not excluded to each other. But those who propagate lies in God's name are called false prophets. And we must be aware. They will be in your family. They will be in your church. They will be in your company. So beware. Beware of them. Pseudo-prophets are dangerous. They're deceptive. In reality, they are wolves, that Jesus says. Christ's flock is at the mercy of either good shepherds or wolves. This is why it's important. They are amongst us. A good pastor. Don't trust all pastors. Be careful. I was reading a book yesterday. I was so depressed. I finished a book yesterday and I tried to read. But one of the books says, don't trust theologians. You've got to find out for yourself. All that comes from what I am saying also, you got to go and check it out. Is it biblical or is it philosophy that I'm articulating from the pulpit? And today you find a lot of philosophy coming from the pulpit. Plenty of opinions coming from the pulpit. Plenty of talking heads coming from the pulpit. So you got to be careful. And all your one-liners that you're reading on text messages, don't make that your theology. No. Don't make your text messages your theology. You see one-liners, don't make that your belief system. No, you've got to study. This is why people are getting caught up today. Getting caught up with one-line theology. And so as leaders, and you as a leader in your home, in the church, we got to be careful. Be careful. Paul said that after his departure, fierce wolves will come among you, not sparing the flock. They will divide the church. They will speak perverse things, therefore be alert of what they're going to say and how they're going to say it. So what do they do? They fill you with vain hopes. Everything is going to be fine. It shall be well with you. Follow your own heart. They will say, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Also, give a sense of false security. Don't worry. Everything's going to be fine. In fact, these false prophets will put us to sleep in our sins. It'll lull our senses. And we cannot identify what is right or wrong. They always blur the issues of salvation. They muddle and distort the gospel. They make it hard for seekers to find the narrow gate. And the narrow gate, they say, is the broader gate. Can you see that? They say, man, the broader gate is actually the narrow gate. That's the right gate. The millions and the billions of people cannot be wrong. I say, there's no restrictions on the narrow gate. Contrary to what Jesus says. And this is why Jesus called them ravenous wolves in sheep's clothing. Strong words. And he said they were existing in his time and they're going to exist more in our time and within the church. They're ferocious, extremely dangerous, lead people to destruction. This is why we need to be careful. In fact, they are more than dangerous. They are deceptive because they sneak into the flock disguised as a sheep, finely dressed. And we mistake them as sheep. We unsuspectingly welcome them into our audience. The true character is not discovered until the damage has been done. Have you seen that? I've been in churches where they have sneaked in and messed up entire churches have been divided down the line. They were so excited about the false prophet that they didn't want to do anything with him. Got him to preach again and again on the pulpit. So false teachers don't advertise themselves or announce themselves. They claim to be teachers of truth. They conceal the dark purposes beneath the cloak of a Christian piety. So we need to be careful. Also be careful of those behind the cover of high-sounding titles. Have you seen them? Impressive academic degrees. Been to this school, been to that school, been a teacher, been an elder, been a pastor. Jesus says, beware of them. Beware of them. Be on your guard. Pray for discernment. Use your critical faculties. Never relax vigilance. Don't be dazzled by the outward appearances. Don't be dazzled by their charm, by their clothing, by their doctorates, by the Ecclesiastes honors that they have. And we're seeing that every week. They have millions and millions of followers. Millions of followers. We need to look beneath the appearance to the reality of what's under that fleece. Is it a sheep or a wolf? And the only way you will know is when you have genuine contact with God. When you have a solid relationship with the Master, you will know that this is true or false. And so what Jesus does now, in this, he changes his metaphor from a sheep to trees and their fruit. He changes his metaphor from sheep to trees and fruit. So you may sometimes mistake a wolf for a sheep. Is that true? I did it many times. I was deceived. Many, many times I've been deceived, not realizing there's a crook behind this beautiful outfit. But you cannot mistake a tree. This is why Jesus brings out this here. He says you cannot mistake a tree. The tree cannot hide its identity for a very long time. Is that true? Yes. Sooner or later, it betrays itself. Thorns and thistles cannot produce edible fruit like figs and grapes. You'll soon know the tree. First kind of fruits by which false prophets reveal the true identity is by the character and conduct. And you would see their disposition. At first, you'd find love and patience. You'd find goodness and self-control in all these people. But as time goes on, and as you're challenging these false teachers and false prophets, their love will turn to hate. It'll turn to bitterness. It'll turn to gossip. So if we see enmity, impurity, jealousy, self-indulgence, you know that is an imposter. Keep away, or pray for him. The other way you can test him is the actual teaching. And the actual teaching is only when you know what is truth. Christ doesn't ask you to go and study all the false religions. I love doing that because it helps me. But don't spend your hours and time studying false religion or studying the false teachings. Do what? Study the truth. Because when false teachings come, you'll know. You don't have to question and find out, hey, let me go and ask the pastor. Let me go and ask my teacher. Let me go and ask someone. No, you would know because you spend time Spend time studying the truth and you'll identify it. And so you'll know that this teacher is an evil teacher. So my friends, Jesus' warning is not about heresy hunting. Be careful. Don't go and start finding out who's the heresy guys in the church. No, it's not about that. Let me be careful of this brother now. Let me be careful of that brother. Let me be careful of Brother Malin. Let me be careful of Brother John. Let me be careful of Brother Tom. No, it's not like that. This is not about heresy hunting. You will know. You will know. Rather, it's a solemn reminder that there are false teachers in the church and we must be on guard. Doesn't want you to put your flashlight now and start searching for these guys. No. It's a reminder for you. Be on your guard. There are some people here in this church trying to propagate false teachings. See, truth matters, for it is God's truth, and it builds up God's church, whereas evil or error will be destructive to God's church. And so, friends, if the church heeds Christ's warning, if it applies the test, the church would not be in a state of moral confusion today. And this is why many churches are battling with issues that are black and white. They're black and white in the Bible today. You can clearly see it is an error, it is sin. But theologians and churches are battling to say, hey, is this wrong? Did the Bible writers make a mistake? Did not see that living in the 21st century, this is how it needs to be done? No, friends. The Bible is consistent from day one, since the world was created. And if we deviate from God's word, we are following the false teachers of this world. And so, we need to be very, very careful as we're nearing to the end. The broader road will get broader. It'll get wider. It'll get wider in your personal lives. Get it? The affluency, the easiness of things like pornography that is on your laptop. Easy access to things. The road becomes broader and broader and broader for you. And it's nothing for you to sit on this broad road on a daily basis, because you're swept into it. Be careful. The devil doesn't come at one time and say, hey, jump into this. No. How does he work? How does the devil work? Yes. Very subtly. He takes you to one site. He takes you to another site. He takes you to this. He takes you to that. He takes you to that. He plays with this technology around and say, there's nothing wrong with looking at all these things on the internet. Nothing wrong. In fact, porn is one of the biggest industries, a multi-billion dollar industry today. Men and women are in that. It's the broad road. Everyone's doing it. So let's get into the road and let's enjoy it. Be careful, friends. The devil comes out smartly dressed, and when he's got you choked, you don't know you are choking. You don't know. When the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, you don't know that you are right down there because the devil has choked you. And friends, also remember, the devil does not pull you into this. The devil does not pull you. You choose to go in. Do you get that? You choose to go in by yourself. The devil only dangles it. He dangles it. I tell you this every week in my sermons. You're probably getting tired of it. But he dangles these things here. He dangles the technology. He dangles the false teachings. He dangles the hypocrisy. He dangles the morality issues. He dangles everything in front of you. You make the choice. Don't be like Eve. You created Satan, God. Can you see that? Blaming God. When we get down there, we do the same thing. We want to blame God for our faults. No. The world wants to blame God for the situation. No. They're not blaming themselves. So we need to be responsible. Satan is only the tempter. Temptation is not a sin, by the way. You know that. Temptation is not a sin. We are tempted every day and night. Every day and night we are tempted. It's not a sin when you give into temptation and you want to walk on the wide road. And Christ is always calling us, my son, my daughter. I know you've been on the wide road a long time. I want you to come back on the narrow road. Sometimes the narrow road can be boring. Sometimes it can be challenging because you're walking this road alone. You're walking the road alone. So friends, Christ is pleading with us. He says, it's not very long, because you don't know when life's going to end, by the way. You don't know when life's going to end. My friend just passed on. Last week he was alive, sitting in church, worshiping. Next day, he's gone. Gone. Life is uncertain. So we need to be with God. You see, you cannot fool around with God. Stop fooling around with God. The days are gone when we can fool around and play God and play church, and play God and play church, and play the devil and play God. You cannot do that. You either serve God or man, or mammon, as the Bible would say. This is why God only gives us two choices. Two choices only. There is no third choice. And so my plea with you is to hold on to what you've got. It's the best thing you've got. You've got Jesus. You've got a God who loves you. A God who loves you with an everlasting love. You've walked that broad road so many times. And you could have lost your life and you could have been there, but he's given you a chance. He's always calling us, come back, son. Come back, daughter. I love you with an everlasting love. And when you come back, I ask you no questions. I only say, go and sin no more. That's what God wants. May God bless you as you face the challenges of this week. Amen.
Everybody, please stand for a closing hymn. Jesus, Jesus, love, I trust him now.
Let the church say amen. We want to thank Pastor Chetty for allowing the Lord to use him today. And he'll be standing over at the door after church service. So please go shake the pastor's hands. Remember, my friends, that life is short and death is sure. Sin is the cause and Christ is the cure. May the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace, both now and forever. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.